This is Ashley Hodge, joined by Kendall Kout. We got some basketball to talk about. We got a commit, a really good transfer point guard has committed to Baylor. A couple days ago, made it official. Was it Sunday? I can't remember. Kendall, Sunday night?
That sounds right to me.
And that's a big get. I mean, that is a really big get. And we'll talk about why. The backcourt looks amazing, and we're going to go through that. There's still some uncertainty in the front court. We've got a little bit more clarity after Igor Milicek made his decision. I don't think it's even public as of this recording, but he's not going to be a Baylor. It looks like Tennessee. And we're still waiting on Jonas Adu. He's visiting Arkansas this weekend, might take another visit or two. The Bears feel good about him. Then we've got a lot of roster spots to shore up with the current roster, but that's all looking good. Kendall, how you doing? How's life for you?
It's good. I was actually in Lexington this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And I would feel confident that if I got off a plane to Lexington, I would want to go back to Waco. So not a fun place to hang out. Not a place I would want to be myself. But much more excited about Baylor basketball than Kentucky basketball.
Yeah, they're coming after one of our coaches, Alvin Brooks. And we'll see if they're able to woo him. You know, I think there's some family considerations for him that are going to play a big factor in that. And you can't blame that. You know, you got to do what's right for your family. But, if he decides to return to Waco, that'll be a good thing. And there'll be some stability in the staff. I fully expect Bill Armstrong to be named. I tweeted that the day that Scott Drew reaffirmed his commitment to Baylor. And he will be named as a coach at Baylor soon, I believe. And then there's some other coaching spots to shore up. And obviously, if Brooks leaves, there's another one that needs to be shored up as well. But, it's a fun time. I really kind of like this whole portal activity. It makes it exciting. It gives you more interest in college basketball this time of year. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Definitely more interest in college basketball. I would hope we might get to the two-year deals eventually so we have a little bit less chaos. But the chaos does give us some interesting. I think it's kind of like the NBA where free agency is really fun for a month, but then you start tuning in March and you're like, wait, this guy plays here. This guy plays there. So it's a little bit of that, but I like it for the most part. I get a little worried about how good KU looks next season, but I'm excited to look at it. And I think Baylor's got a really good roster shaped up next season. And on the Brooks front, certainly really always like talking to AB when I see him in the locker rooms when Baylor opens him up. Great human being, very smart. Coaching pedigree, obviously, with his father. You do figure, though, if he leaves, that he probably is only going to be here for another year or two if he stays anyway.
Right.
Because he's not long to be an assistant coach. He'll be a head coach shortly, like Jacobs just was promoted, like Tang before him. So you hope Baylor can keep him for another year or two, but that's not a, hey, if he stays, he's going to be here for another decade like we think Scott will.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's address some of the rumors out there. You know, I'd say, first of all, there is a rumor that he's going to go to Kentucky. There's some Kentucky media outlets reporting that, or that it looks likely. And there's some smoke there. I think that's a strong possibility. There's another rumor that he might be bringing players with him, a Vijay Edgecombe or a Rob Wright. I don't see that as likely. I think they're going to stay with their commitments to Baylor. I don't want to rule it out completely, but, you know, it's a crazy world. You know, people do a lot of, make interesting decisions this time of year. But, you know, the backcourt, let's assume that Edgecombe and Wright are Baylor Bears. The backcourt looks really strong. We start with Jeremy Roach. He's a four-year player at Duke, a four-year starter. I don't know for a fact if he was a starter all four of those years, but, you know, he played a lot of games, made a lot of clutch baskets, was, you know, heavily relied on in that system. And so he brings big game experience. He brings maturity. He's a point of attack defender. He's got some quickness. He can make threes. I think he shot like 43% from three. You know, you've watched him play. We saw him play against Baylor, obviously, and I know I've watched him a few other times, and so have you. What's your take on him, and how do you think he's going to help the Bears this year?
Really good player. Better defender than Baylor's had at the point guard spot the last couple seasons. That'll be an improvement for the Bears on that end. He shot really well from three last year, actually, 43% on 126 attempts. He'd been a 34% and 32% shooter the years before, but he shot 84% from the free throw lines. That seems pretty stable. And with Baylor's collection of guards around him, Jaden Nunn back, Langston Love hopefully healthy for the full season, can create off the dribble. Vijay Edgecombe, I think a little bit more explosive player. than Jacoby Walter. Should be a lot of catch and shoot opportunities. So it'll look a little different than the offense with Ray J, where Ray J, you know, would take a guy into the post and beat him, you know, backing him down a lot, or he'd kind of create a nifty move. Roach is a little bit less likely to do that, but he's a lot better jump shooter. And I think that'll help Baylor's offense with spacing next season, having a better jump shooter if maybe Baylor goes the less traditional stretch four if Jalen Bridges remains in the draft. So I think it's a good get. I think that's an incredible get for Baylor. Pretty crazy to go from Kentucky almost poaches Baylor's head coach to Baylor poaches the starting point guard at Duke. And I didn't see any evidence that Duke was ginning for him to leave campus. And I think Duke would have loved to have him back on campus for a fifth season.
Yeah, it makes sense why he chose to come to Baylor. You know, Baylor's got a great history with high usage point guards. And, you know, I think he's going to be the primary point guard in the Baylor system. At Duke, there were more of a point guard platoon situation. You had Tyrese Proctor coming back, who was the leading assist guy, just slightly more assists than Roach last year. One thing I like about him is if you dig into his stats a little bit, he's very consistent. You know, his conference stats are a little bit of an upgrade over his overall stats for the year. His stats against A and B competition in KenPom are good. You know, he shoots 89% from the free throw line in the ACC. He shoots 44% from 3-point range in the ACC. Has a really good assist to turnover rate. More like Adam Flagler than some of the point guards we've had recently. He's actually better than Davion Mitchell. He's better than Akinjo. He's better than Ray J. Dennis as far as assist to turnover ratio. So those are all good things. I think, Baylor's got a really, one of the top five point guards of the nation next year with him. So, you know, you round that out with guys with some experience and talent. Jaden Nunn, Langston Love, I fully expect them back. They are, guys that are starter quality guys. I don't know if one of them is going to come off the bench or not. I don't think it matters. They're going to be in your top eight for sure and get a lot of minutes. And hopefully Langston can stay healthy. You know, Jaden Nunn's a returning starter. Both shot from three extremely well. I expect him to do that again this year. And then you got VJ Edgecombe, very explosive athlete. I was talking to one source today and said, if you want to compare him to Jacoby, he's probably not as good of a pure shooter as Jacoby was, although Jacoby's numbers weren't amazing, from percentage efficiency, but he's got a lot more bounce. He can get to the rim, with a lot more explosiveness, probably a better just athletic defender. Jacoby worked really hard on defense and, just has a lot of things that you're looking for in a one and done guy. And then you got Rob Wright, the future of Baylor as far as point guard's concerned. And then I think, Merrill Little's the other one. I do expect him to transfer. We've talked about it on the message boards that, Florida Atlantic makes a lot of sense. Got a really strong relationship with John Jacobs. So, that would be with the blessing of the Baylor staff if that does happen. That's kind of how the roster shapes up in the backcourt. How do you compare that backcourt to the national championship year? How do you compare it to some of the Baylor backcourts we've had recently?
I think it's still, lofty for him to be the championship quality season, but I think hopefully it can have the better defensive play from the guards than that 22 team even had. The 22 team, phenomenal front court defense kind of carried the day, but with Adam and LJ, there was a ceiling to what you could do defensively that I think this backcourt can hit a higher level. I expect Jaden Nunn to be a better defender in year two in a power five level after playing at VCU. Jeremy Roach is a much, much better defender than Ray J. Dennis, who really, tried his soul off, but Ray J was just not a good defender. Jacoby was a bad defender. Really hard to build a good backcourt with that. VJ has to get better off the ball.
Yep.
Can't ball watch.
But he's really good. He's good on the ball, right? Yep.
Yep. Needs to really be a point of attack defender, do well there. And then if Baylor can add a five who can patrol the rim, then I think you're talking about a really good defense. So I don't think it's a championship backcourt in the sense of the 21 championship backcourt. But I think it's a backcourt that is very good, could be a top five backcourt nationally. And if you land an impact five who can play some good defense, then you get in that mix to win the national championship next season. Because if you look at like KU, too many cooks maybe is the problem at KU right now.
Right.
We'll see how they react when, they have 10 guys that all expect to be starting. And then you look at Houston. Well, they've fallen apart every season, and there seems to be some ceiling to having your guys beat on each other for 6 months. And then expect them not to get injured at the end of the campaign. Iowa State, we see they seem to fall apart every tournament. So I think there's an opening for somebody to win the national title next year. KU to me is the favorite, but I think there's a real opening. UConn's not bringing everybody back, obviously. So I think there's a real opening for somebody to take the championship next season. You know, maybe Cooper Flagg just dominates college basketball. I don't know if he's quite Kevin Durant, but even, you know, Kevin Durant didn't make the second weekend. So I think a real opening. I think that backcourt gives Baylor a chance to make that opening, Ashley.
Yeah, I agree. I do like that Roach has tournament experience and some success in the tournament. You know, I think he would love to, you know, lead a team to a national championship. That would drive the Duke fans crazy if that happened. But, I mean, I do like he's got some skins on the wall. I think they were looking for that. You know, I think in the you know, there's some – our older guys, Ray J. Dennis played really well in that Clemson game. But, you know, you just – you know, you wanted more experience. There was maybe a little bit of the stage is too big, you know, for some of the guys on the roster. So hopefully, you know, some of the moves we make in the portal will alleviate that. If they get Jonas Adu, that's a big addition. Like you said, you know, you got that defensive stopper, glass eater, you know, kind of perfect for the system, you know, erase a lot of mistakes. You know, that will be a great fit for the Bears if he pulls the trigger on a Baylor commitment. And then, you know, we talked about Igor is going to go to Tennessee, so that there's an open spot at the four. There's some interesting names being bandied about, you know, not only for a starting role, but for a backup role. Then you got Jason Azamota coming in, who's a stretch four, can hit threes, you know, got some athleticism, got some ability to block shots, long wingspan. He's a bright prospect, but, you know, he's a freshman, so you don't want to rely too heavy on him. Front court players that are freshmen, I think, are maybe a little bit dicier just because of the strength issues than you know, freshmen in the backcourt. And then, Josh should improve a lot. And if he stays, which I think he will, you know, he'll give us a big that we know has some experience and, you know, should really do some great things as a junior. The roster looks good. You know, I would love to see Baylor get like a, you know, talked about Darian Williams at Texas Tech, or, you know, Royce O'Neal, Ish Wainwright, Mark Vidal type of player. I think that's what we need. I think we need that toughness. You know, somebody can really cause mismatches, even if he's undersized. I know there's lots of those guys out there. So that would be, to me, a perfect way to fill out that, you know, four spot would be with somebody like that, you know, 6'4", 6'6", 6'5", guy that can really play tough, man-to-man defense, switch everything, you know, get a ton of rebounds. You know, they're out there and make threes. And you know, so that's my dream team. Anybody that you think, if Jalen Bridges comes back, that's a no-brainer. Like, you know, I think there's a small possibility of that. I'd probably put it at 10%. It looks like he's staying in the draft. You know, certainly his announcement was along those lines, but there's only 60 guys that get drafted. And, you know, age is against him, so he would have a decision. Do I want to come back and, you know, make more than I would in a two-way deal, or do I want to, you know, just go the G League route and just stick on an NBA roster? I know what I would choose. It's funny. I remember one of the coaches at Baylor talking about this, and I think Jared Butler came back and told the team, you know, he said, do you like the fact that at Baylor, you know, you get to, you know, go to the practice gym whenever you want, and you have a GA that you can call up and say, hey, man, can we get some shots up? And they're all like, yeah, that's great. He goes, well, in the G League, you go to the YMCA, and you have a two-hour window, and you rebound your own ball. Do you like the bank, you know, where you get all the, you know, you get a, you know, your food's all provided, and it's, you know, custom meals, you eat whatever you want, that's all provided by Baylor? They're like, yeah, we like that. He goes, yeah, well, in the G League, you get like a $50 daily per diem, and you'd be lucky if there's like a Shoney's or a Denny's in the towns that you're in, you know. And he said, you know, the travel, a lot of bus rides, you know, you're playing in empty gyms. And, you know, it's a struggle, man. It's not glamorous. You know, it's not like college. College is a lot better. So, you know, you're making a decision, you know, based on, I mean, you're going to get in the NBA some in a two-way deal, and you're, you know, like all those guys have been on NBA rosters, and now Butler's, you know, looks like he's in a position to stick. Flagler, you know, is having some success. Guys like Akinjo, you know, probably, the window may be closing on him. Kendall Brown's done well. Of course, Jeremy's been terrific. I mean, Jeremy Sochan. But overall, it's a struggle. And, you know, there's some real advantages to staying in college as long as possible, especially with NIL.
No, I feel you. And, I mean, that leads to the James Akinjo hot take of, if you do it over again, if you were Baylor, would you have preferred to have James for a year? Tell LJ we have no problem with you hitting the road and then try and talk Adam into coming back. But I think, yeah, ultimately Adam was probably not going to come back if James came back. But just want to get that one out there because I think that's a fun hypothetical to think about. When it comes to Jalen, I think ultimately he's going to stay in the draft as well. I'd put that number at least that high. My deal with him would be he's now 5 years removed from high school since he had the redshirt year in Morgantown. And so you look at his years in Morgantown, he's had two here. Come back for a sixth year, he could dominate, absolutely. And I mean, Kevin McCuller was 5 years. Now looks like he'll be a first-round draft pick, and he showed questionable toughness, not playing in the NCAA tournament for KU and still probably as a first-round pick.
Right.
So you think if you're Jalen, you come back, create a little bit more off the dribble. I think Baylor will give you those opportunities next season. You know, maybe you do play your way into a guaranteed deal in the first round. I think ultimately, though, it's, hey, you've been here for 5 years. He's now engaged. Congrats to him on that front. Yeah. I think probably ready to take his chances in the NBA, see if he can make it, and then figure out what happens from here. I know that he's always a legend at Baylor from here on out. So I don't expect him to come back, Ashley. I'm a little more open to Baylor maybe not taking such a stretch four, though, next time. And the reason I mention that is I think there's a possibility with how well Roach will shoot at point guard and what I think Edgecombe can do, and I think Jaden's going to be a much better shooter next year, and you can play Langston some as a four if you just don't have spacing. Baylor's offensive rebound dipped a little bit last year. I think they were like 24th in offensive rebounding. And so I do think more of a defensive stopper closer to Mark Vidal might help the roster and just kind of once again recreate the defensive culture would be helpful for the Bears. So I'd look for guys like that. I don't think KJ Adams quite fits that mold for me, but I'm really interested if he's going to – I know he announced he was coming back to KU, but I doubt Phil Self told him he's picking up 6-7 guys in the portal, including Ryland Griffin from Alabama. It sounds like he's now going to commit. So that's a guy who you might give a look to if he suddenly enters the portal. I don't know other guys they might look at from there, but – I think the stretch four part of it maybe a little bit less important than it might have been in the past if you can have a guy down there just banging, trying to get fouls. And then I'm also interested if college basketball follows the tenor of the NBA where that very good Lakers-Nuggets game last night ends in a just barely over 100-point scoring fest.
Yeah.
Compared to where it was before, they're calling the games a little bit tighter. Maybe college goes that direction too and says, hey, we'll call it a little tighter, though. God, Lord knows we've seen enough fouls in the sport, so – I would like maybe a little bit less of a stretch four, more of a, hey, I'm going to bruise around and play the toughest defense imaginable. That's what I'd like to see Baylor get.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. You may be able to get both, you know? Like, I think there's guys out there that can make threes and give you that toughness. I mean, Royce would be ideal. I mean, if you could get a Royce O'Neal, I mean, a guy that's like a playmaking, you know, 6'5", 6'6", long wingspan guy that can make threes. You know, Ish made a few threes at college, but, I mean, he kind of developed that more after college. You know, Mark, obviously, we know his shooting woes. He was not a shooter for sure. But, yeah, I mean, I agree. It's that glue guy, man. That's just valuable. I feel like we've been missing that. You know, just a guy that brings grit and toughness and, you know, we'll go knock down the other team's best player early in the game or get three offensive rebounds like Vidal did against Gonzaga in the championship game on the first possession. Somebody like that can really be, you know, soul crushing to the other team. I'll make this comment about Jalen Bridges. I had him in on a post game show. I don't remember which game it was after, but he broke the news that they were going to have like Sailor Bear uniforms. And he said, those are going to be sick. I can't wait to put them on. So I think he was maybe foreshadowing a sneaky, I'm going to return to Baylor next year. I've already made the video. I've already got the plan to announce my return, but I got to go through the charade first. And so I'm going to hold him to his word. You know, I think I need to remind him that he made that comment earlier in the year.
I hope you do, Ashley, and we'll have a hype video produced for that. And so I think, yeah, between Jack and the rest of the staff, the hype video would be unbelievable. So hopefully that happens. Cause I like covering him. He's a really nice guy.
Yeah.
deceptively tall too. Like he ain't lying about being 6'8".
I know. He's for sure. I mean, and of course, Jalen, if you're listening to this, we're joking. We're not going to hold you to that statement you made, you know, 6 months ago or not 6 months ago, 3 or 4 months ago, whenever it was. Yeah.
Yeah. I love Mark Vidal, but Mark Vidal might be more like 6'3".
Right.
Jalen Bridges might be 6'10". Like he's going to measure at least 6'8", 6'9" without shoes on.
Right. Yeah, I know. I agree with you. Man, flashbacks to that Texas game. He really saved the day for us in that game.
Yes, he did. So, I mean, that's a guy you obviously would love to have back. But if not, I think the portal's gone about as well as it could so far for Baylor. As long as Baylor, I think, can get another 5, I would not want to go into the season just relying upon – you'd have to get – I mean, somebody. You can't just have 1 5-man on your roster.
Yeah, no
doubt. So somebody has to come in the portal.
Yep.
But I think to me this season was about getting better defensively, and I think Baylor's made that step. And then getting a little bit more shooting on the perimeter, done that as well. So I think that combo, Baylor's going to hit. And so we'll have a chance to make a run in the tournament.
I agree. Yeah, I'm excited about the roster. I'm excited about the changes that have been made. I know these coaches aren't getting any sleep. It's brutal. Like, you know, for example, we talked about this, I think, before we started rolling the pod. But when Jeremy Roach committed, I think Trilly Donovan put out that, you know, he was getting paid $1.5 million. That was inaccurate. Jeremy Roach himself said, "I wish," laughing out loud, you know, and quote tweeted it. So, you know, that rumor, whoever started it probably had an ulterior motive to start that rumor. You know, maybe been an agent, who knows. But, you know, when you hear that, you know, your own players on your own team are like, what, you know, I'm getting paid this and he's getting paid that, you know, so it creates this little comparison as a thief of joy dynamic. So the coaches have to, you know, manage all that. And then, you know, it's a money ball world. You have to allocate money based on, you know, importance and value, and you got to make decisions on that. And it has trickle down effects, but I think everybody's in a good spot right now. And, you know, we'll see what happens with Jonas Adu. That could have an impact on Josh. So if Josh did enter the portal, then we would, you know, have to get another backup center. But, you know, those are fine problems to have. And, you know, I think with, you know, what Jonas Adu has demonstrated as a shot blocker and a consistent rebounder, Josh has potential in those areas, but we know he did not put very good stuff on paper with shot blocking. He's good offensively. You know, he's an efficient player. You think he's going to take a leap. You know, there's some things you really, you know, are excited about with him. But I think you just have to get that anchor to your defense. And so, and hopefully somebody older and stronger. And Jonas Adu just fits the bill, perfectly.
Yeah, I think you take Adu all day and you worry about the consequences later on for that guy.
Yep, for sure. All right, anything else you want to cover, Kendall?
I think we gave so many hot takes in our one before that, we had to cool it a little bit this time, but we promise double the hot takes next time.
Sounds good. Well, we should know what Brooks decides. Hopefully he stays at Baylor, but if he doesn't, we wish him well, and I'm sure Scott will get, you know, another great addition to the staff. It looks like it's going to be a fun year for Baylor basketball ahead, and you know there's so many people complaining about the football program that we had to give them a little bit of hope. We had to record this podcast to get people excited about you know, Baylor basketball, which has become, you know, a really fun sport to watch at Baylor. Hopefully the football program surprises us to the upside. You've been listening to a Sikkim 365 podcast with Ashley Hodge and Kendall Kout. Sikkim Bears.